Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champ Kendrick Perkins, Hall of Famer Jackie McMullen. We have such a big show planned, guys. NBA Twitter legend Jason Concepcion dropping by to preview tonight's first ever Marvel-themed NBA broadcast. A heroic matchup between the Warriors and the Pelicans. It's going to air on ESPN2. Jeff Green from the Brooklyn Nets, he's also going to stop by talking about his love for Marvel. Also, what's going on with Brooklyn finding chemistry with his superstar teammates. First, though, the Lakers dropping their third straight game last night. Now Woj and Dave McMenamin reporting the Lakers will be without starting point guard Dennis Schroeder for 10 to 14 days due to COVID health and safety protocols. Schroeder sat out last night's loss to the Raptors because of the protocols. This is the second COVID-related absence for Schroeder. There's never a good time to lose a starter, but this is a heavy blow to the Lakers as they try to reintegrate LeBron and AD back into the lineup. LeBron isn't even still playing consistently. We'll have more on that in a minute, but back to Schroeder, who is averaging 15.5 points and 5.8 assists this season, was one of the key players who kept the Lakers afloat without LeBron and AD. Perk, what do you think the loss of Schroeder means for the Lakers right now?
Well, Rachel, it means everything. And it's hard, but it's a disaster when you look at it. When you look at the structure of the Los Angeles Lakers, it's only two playmakers at the guard position and at their wing position, LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder. You take Dennis Schroeder away, who do you have left? A hobbling LeBron James is not good for the Lakers right now. LeBron James is not healthy, as we can see. I don't even think he's 60%. So, you know, and it just goes to show you, though, I want to give a lot of credit to the players around the whole entire NBA of what they've been dealing with throughout the NBA season, dealing with certain situations as far as testing on the regular, as far as with COVID and the whole COVID protocol situation.
I couldn't agree more, Perk. This is a really tough blow for the Lakers for the exact point you mentioned. Who's going to facilitate now? You don't want to put more on LeBron James's plate. And the other thing about Schroeder, I thought it was really important for him to be around because, as we know, Anthony Davis has been struggling a bit as he reintegrates back into this team. He's only shooting 39% from the floor. The Lakers have actually been outscored by 56 points during the time that he's been back. Now, we know he's a great player, but who better than your point guard, who has been a really big leader, and you could argue one of the most important players on that team, to get you back into the swing of it? Now you're not going to have him.
Jackie, do you think that seeing this will impact any of the Lakers and other teammates or maybe other teams around the league? The league has been pretty clear. If you are vaccinated, the protocols will be different for you. Schroeder missed time earlier this season for contact tracing. The league has already come out and said that's not going to be the case for vaccinated players, taking guidance from the CDC. Right now, he's missing 10 to 14 days, which is usually an indicator that the player is dealing with coronavirus. That is going to be kept private, but we can sort of read the tea leaves of the schedule. And again, look, we have this information from our nation's leading doctors that it is very, 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 very hard to come up with a positive coronavirus test if you are fully vaccinated. Do you think that this is now impacting players and teams on the court and, in fact, could really put a dent in the Lakers' playoff hopes, might affect some of the thinking of players who maybe are okay getting vaccinated, just haven't gotten around to it, or have sort of on the fence, Jackie?
Well, if they haven't got vaccinated yet, I would be guessing that their teams are going to ask them to do it in a big hurry and probably recommend the one-shot vaccination. Because as you know, you get vaccinated, you have to wait 2 to 3 weeks to get the second vaccination. And then you're not officially cleared, according to the CDC guidelines, for yet another 2 weeks. You're talking 5 or 6 weeks out. I do think this, you know, COVID has just cast a pall over this entire season. I think that's pretty obvious to everybody. And when these things happen, it's just so frustrating, not just to the player involved, but everybody on his team, because now they all have to be tested again. This is just, you know, this nightmare can't be over soon enough for a lot of NBA players, that's for sure.
And look, the NBA has made it clear to the Players Association, to individual players, it is up to the person himself whether he wants to get vaccinated. Right. But they've also made it clear that the rules are going to be different for people who are and and aren't, just like the rules in society are going to be different. The CDC has already come out and said this, so you're just going to have to decide. There's all kinds of factors when you decide as a player, am I going to take this painkiller or not? What will it do to my body long term? What will it do if I play on this ankle that I probably shouldn't play in, but it's the playoffs and I really want to be there for my team? Those kinds of questions we're used to players grappling with injury, that they are now going to grapple with vaccination questions that really are a lot of the same sort of pros and cons and equation, I think is going to be very interesting. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Lakers game last night. Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry, two-man wrecking crew out there, just torching the Lakers for a combined 76 points. The Lakers' losses continue to mount. They've now lost six of their last seven, currently in sixth place in the West. They have the same record as the seven-seeded Trailblazers, though, so there is a real chance the defending champs will drop into that play-in tournament, something that just seemed inconceivable. It was only 2 months ago they were in second place in the West. LeBron shared his thoughts about the play-in tournament, and they're not positive. Take a listen.
It doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not, 100%, close to 100%. It don't matter, where we land, So, that's my mindset. And, if this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
All right, so a little breaking news from Woj and Ramona Shelburne. The Lakers' LeBron is out tonight against the Nuggets. He re-aggravated his ankle in the fourth quarter of last night's loss. Jackie, calling for someone to be fired is strong. I can hear you laughing there. What is your opinion of LeBron's comments?
I can understand his frustration, Rachel. I really can. And you are correct in that it was inconceivable for anyone on the Lakers to even think about the play-in game. I'm sure they never even gave it a thought, never paid attention to how it worked, because it was never going to be part of their equation. It was never going to be anything that affected them. I'm sure Mark Cuban felt the same way about his Dallas Mavericks. I don't blame people for changing their minds. People are pulling out an old quote from LeBron saying he thinks it's a great idea, and it was from March 2018 or March 2020 or whatever it was. But I think all of these guys have the right to change their mind, because no one knew what toll this year. This has been like the baton death march this NBA season, honestly, for every team, coaches, players, GMs, everyone. So I don't blame people for changing their mind and saying, man, the last thing we need are more games with less time in between them.
Yeah. Look, Jackie, I agree with your point, but I disagree with LeBron as far as the play-in, because I actually love the play-in tournament, okay? I think it holds teams and organizations accountable throughout the regular season, not to take the regular season for granted. And during this time, when it's getting towards the end of the regular season, going into the playoffs, sometimes teams relax. You have guys load managing, guys sitting out games, guys tanking, things of that nature. Well, this here nips everything in the bud. And I think, when you think about load management part of it, where hardworking people are taking their kids to games or their friends to games, their superstars are now playing. Now you have to play, because every game means something. So I actually love the play-in tournament. And I think a guy that was a great example who took full advantage of the play-in tournament was Damian Lillard last year in the bubble. He said, I'm not going down to the bubble just to play. I need to have a reason to play, and I want an opportunity to go in and play to get in the playoffs. And he shined like new money. So I get LeBron frustration, because his ankle injury, his team, and where they are. But the play-in tournament has been a great thing that the NBA has added to the schedule and to the NBA period.
Look, I'm all for the play.
Go ahead, Jackie. Same perk. Oh, good. No, I was going to say, I get what you're saying, Perk, but I just think you have to look at this year through a different lens. And now what's happening, because of the play-in and people and teams wanting to avoid the play-in, players who are injured are coming back sooner than they should. I would present LeBron James as a potential example. And so is that good for the league, for players to come back before they're healthy because they want to avoid that seventh spot at all spots? I'm not so sure.
That's why LeBron's coming back now, though. There's only such a handful of games before the playoffs. You know that either way he would want to be getting himself back into shape, getting his rhythm with Anthony Davis. And I will say this for the Lakers, whether they end up in seventh in the playoff spot, play-in spot, or sixth, they may want to end up in seventh looking at the bracket, right? Because if they end up in sixth, guess who they would play in the first round if the season ended today? The Clippers in the first round. Meanwhile, if they end up in seventh, they play either Phoenix or Utah. And I am not making a statement of, oh, gee, those are easier than the Clippers. But I know that there's been talk amongst the Lakers that perhaps you'd want one of those earlier matchups. So I think that it is a little bit of a gamble to try to pick your opponent. Having to play the extra game of having to play the playing game might be something that the Lakers, who are banged up, are not looking forward to. But overall, their big problem is LeBron is still hurting, Anthony Davis is still finding his legs, and now Dennis Schroeder is out for 10 to 14 days. All right, friends, I need to show you something. Uh-oh. This is Ant-Man's helmet. I'm so excited. We've got a bunch of Marvel stuff coming up for you on the show. Coming up in 2 minutes, we're going to discuss who earns the NBA scoring title this season, because only 0.3 percentage point separates Steph Curry and Bradley Beal. Stick around. We'll be right back. Friday night, we're talking about Jason Tatum again, because he tied the Celtics' single-game scoring record with 60 points. It was part of a 32-point comeback to beat the Spurs in overtime. Amazing performance. Got the good photo afterward, but this team still is in need of more wins. They're sitting in the seventh seed in the East. So, Jackie, is the 60-point game something, nothing, or everything?
Oh, it's definitely something, Rachel, because they were getting booed off the floor in the first half, and he literally single-handedly brought them back. The 60 points were incredible, but just as impressive to me, the zero turnovers, because he was handling the ball all through this game, high degree of difficulty, and he would have been very turnover. This is a huge win for them, believe it or not. This would have been the worst loss of the year had it gone down that way.
Yeah, and listen, it was a 60-piece wing dinner Cajun rub, okay? Because he did it in great fashion, and I'm going to tell you why it's everything to me. When you look at all the contenders around the league, and I strongly believe a healthy Celtic roster, their ceiling is to reach the finals. They went to the conference finals last season. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, you have to have a superstar, a guy that is capable of erupting for historical nights. When you look around the league in the Eastern Conference, you got Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Giannis, Joel Embiid. Well, the Boston Celtics have Jason Tatum, a guy that scored 53 and 60 points in 1 week, a guy that is averaging 48 points over his last three games. I mean, that's what you need in order to rise to the top, and he's taking that leap. And I love to see it.
And it's just got to give them confidence, right? Especially as we just mentioned, if Jaylen Brown ends up sitting out the next game, just having that knowledge that your guy on your court can dig you out of that hole. You don't want to depend on it, but it's good to know it's there. All right, coming up, guys, you're going to see my conversation with the MVP favorite, Nikola Jokic. I'm really excited to show you our whole discussion, the evolution of his journey. First, though, I do want to talk about Evan Fournier while we're still on the topic of the Celtics. He missed 2 weeks with COVID, has really struggled since returning to the lineup. Fournier finally broke out with a 21-point game against the Blazers, but after the game, he described his lingering symptoms. Take a listen.
It's like I have a concussion, you know? Right now, it's actually doing a little bit better, but at first, it's like the bright lights were bothering my eyes, and my vision was, you know, blurry, and you know, everything was just going too fast for me. Yeah, I mean, it's still the case. Some stuff are, you know, better. You know, at times, I'm really, really struggling to focus.
The Avengers must expand their ranks. They have created a competition for the stars of the NBA.
Curry, bang!
Only one will stand side by side with the Avengers.
When I say attack the rim, that's what I mean.
When Marvel and ESPN team up for Warriors, Pelicans, and Marvel's Arena of Heroes.
So excited for that. First, though, tonight in our nightcap on ESPN, the Nuggets taking on the Lakers at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. And I recently sat down with Nuggets All-Star center Nikola Jokic. We discussed his journey, right, from being the 41st pick in the draft. If he wins MVP, that will be the lowest drafted player to win the award ever. How he went through changing his body, changing his approach, and getting to this season where he is not only the MVP favorite, but leading this Nuggets team without Jamal Murray now. Take a look.
Jokic, what a pass!
Jokic looking all universe right now.
Another brilliant dish.
He's just one of the best passers in the league, period.
Nikola, it has been another season of just eye-popping passes, moves that look like they're made out of silk. You grew up in Serbia, and you played a lot of other sports besides basketball. You played soccer, and you also played a little bit of water polo with your friends. A lot of the one-handed passes or those sidearm passes seem to come from that. How much was the way you grew up doing all these different things an influence on how you play today?
To be honest, I always say I'm playing this way since I started playing basketball. I play all other sports, volleyball, spikeball, water polo. That helps too, you know, to see some different sports, a different point of view, what I can do, you know. So just and I enjoy playing other sports.
You have the signature move, which the Nuggets play-by-play broadcaster has nicknamed the Sambor Shuffle after your hometown.
Jokic, Sambor Shuffle is good!
Warriors' Draymond Green had a different way of describing it. He called it that right-footed joint, and he kept talking about how difficult it was to defend.
He hit a couple of those right-foot joints that he shoot on me, like, frustrating as hell. You feel like you've done everything you could possibly do to make him take a bad shot, and it hit nothing but the bottom of the net.
But that move was invented out of difficult circumstances, right?
Yeah. I twisted my left ankle. And I just was shooting upstairs in a practice facility. It was kind of a little bit painful to jump over the both legs, and I kind of started jumping over the right leg. And the ball was going in. I said, maybe I can use this, and it's working since then.
With the 41st pick in the 2014 NBA draft, the Denver Nuggets select Nikola Jokic.
When you first got to the league, did you think you were drafted too low?
I didn't even know. I mean, I was sleeping. But my brother called me, and he was partying, opening champagne, I don't know, something. And he was in New York at that time. And I was like, come on, brother, I'm sleeping. So in that moment, I didn't even think it's a big thing, you know, because I never imagined myself coming here.
When you first came over to play in the NBA, you were not the slim, trim muscle machine that you are now, Nikola. How would you describe your body back then?
I mean, when I first started playing basketball back home in Serbia, Belgrade, I really couldn't do a push-up. And then I came here. Here I was really probably the worst body or worst strength condition in the NBA.
Come on, saying you were the worst conditioned player in the NBA, I think you're being a little hard on yourself. You really think that?
I was not far away from the worst, so I think personally.
I did hear that before you came to the NBA, you used to drink a gallon of Coca-Cola a day.
Yeah. And I love it. I drink the last Coke my first summer league on the airplane coming to America. And I remember it.
You were already eating better after those first few years in the league. But once the NBA shut down for COVID and you were back in Serbia, you got really serious about your workouts, about your diet.
I just wanted to train something, you know. I wanted to see, can I do it? Can I really change my body? And I lost a lot of pounds, and I feel much better, you know. To be honest, I still don't run faster. I think it's just main thing, I don't get tired that fast. I can play a lot longer. I think by changing my body helps me a little bit in defensive too, and experience, you know.
All of this has combined to make you the favorite for the MVP award this year. And we've heard other guys who are in the conversation say, I should be MVP and here is why. Or another guy, I should be MVP and here is why. You never say anything like that. How come?
I mean, I never think about it, to be honest. I didn't came here to want to be an MVP of the league, you know. I always think someone is better than me, you know. I want to compete to beat him. So just by that mentality, I'm gonna be underdog always.
Murray's down and hurt. Oh my goodness. He's reaching down for the knee, and man.
You guys really seemed on track to be right there in title contention this year. I know that is your biggest goal. And then Jamal Murray goes down.
Yeah.
What goes through your head after the initial just being concerned for your friend about what it's going to do to the rest of your season?
It's hard, you know, because I really miss him. He's someone that he's really like, he's competing. He's a really competitive. He's like dog on the floor. It's not gonna be pretty. No, it's not gonna be nice. But as long as we have the win, I think the only way we can do it is together. It's fun when you play together. When you pass the ball, when you shoot the ball, when you're playing for each other, you know, then the whole team is happy.
In their search for a hero to join them, the Avengers have set their sights on the world's greatest actors, starting with the NBA, and this battle between the Warriors and the Pelicans. Their focus will be on three players from each team. From Golden State, Captain Marvel admires the otherworldly talent of Steph Curry. Doctor Strange is enchanted by the spirit and tenacity of the multidimensional Draymond Green. And Black Panther respects the extraordinary physical abilities of Andrew Wiggins. From New Orleans, Captain America nominated the revolutionary game changer Zion Williamson. Black Widow selected the sinewy sharpshooter Brandon Ingram, and Iron Man is intrigued by Lonzo Ball's basketball IQ. The combined intellects of Tony Stark and Bruce Banner designed an algorithmic scoring system to assess performance. A hero point will be awarded for every point, rebound, assist, steal, or block. Conversely, a point will be deducted for every missed shot or free throw or for a turnover. 10 bonus points will go to those on the winning team. When the dust clears and the final buzzer sounds, the player with the most hero points will earn the right to stand side by side with Earth's mightiest heroes. This is Marvel's Arena of Heroes.
Welcome back to The Jump. Oh yes, it's Marvel Day here at ESPN. We've decked our set with all these great Marvel action figures in preparation for tonight's special NBA Marvel broadcast. And we are now joined by the co-host of the Take Line podcast with Renee Montgomery and the host of All Caps, our friend, the one and only Jason Concepcion, joining The Jump. And when he brought this hammer out during the commercial break, I thought I might faint. I was so pleased, Jason.
Thank you for having me. What a delight to be here.
There's literally nobody on earth more qualified to talk about the intersection of Marvel and basketball than you. But before we get to that, please explain your multi-podcast universe now with Take Line in All Caps.
Take Line is the podcast that I co-host with two-time WNBA champion Renee Montgomery. Comes out every Tuesday. We talk about the intersection of sports and politics, gender issues, etc. And then All Caps NBA is our comedic video show, satirical look at the NBA through the lens of the internet. Comes out every Friday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our YouTube channel, please. I will smite you down with Mjolnir.
Love it. Jason used to walk to the comic book store every Wednesday. Little Jason, yes, getting his Marvel comics. He also is the co-host with Mallory Rubin of Binge Mode Marvel, which I recommend everybody check out. It's on Spotify. There is nobody who could do this better. So, Jason, I am asking you now, select your starting five. If you were making a basketball team of Marvel characters, take us through.
At point guard, I'm going to go with Captain America, Sam Wilson, Captain America. You've got the wings, newly made and minted in Wakanda. He's able to see the entire court from above, call out the plays, perfect playmaker, perfect ball mover. Hawkeye, listen, it's a controversial pick, but I feel like we need that long-range shooting. It's so important in today's NBA to have that spacing on the court. Small forward at the three, I'm going to have Doctor Strange. It's maybe cheating a little bit, but he has the time stone and he can keep rewinding. Think about, like, you have a close game, final 30 seconds of a close game. What are you going to do? Doctor Strange can just keep looping it until they win. Wanda Maximoff as my four, incredibly powerful, can alter reality. Some might say too powerful for an NBA game. And then finally, I need that rim protection. I need a 60-foot Scott Lang who is just going to absolutely block everything that comes towards the rim. And then as a role man, as a diver, I've got a 60-foot center that's just going to be rolling towards the rim and tearing down the arena, it's unstoppable.
Okay, but your sixth man there is the one that made me, I'm not going to lie, squeal with delight when you said Pangborn was coming off the bench.
Jonathan Pangborn from Doctor Strange. He used magic to heal his legs specifically so he could play basketball. So shouts to my guy, Jonathan Pangborn. He's got the heart and the grit that we need. He could have used magic for anything, to heal the world, to foster world peace. Instead, he did it so that he could break ankles. And what could be more magical and what could be a better use for magic?
Now, you've got Tony Stark as your coach, but I want to put your starting five up against my starting five. Because, Jason...
I feel
you've made some mistakes. Here I go.
Okay.
I also have Hawkeye at guard, but I have him at point guard because to me, you need to be able to, again, see all the angles, right? He can see everything. He can direct traffic. He can make those laser pinpoint passes that you need. At guard, at shooting guard, Captain Marvel, Jason, because the woman literally shoots photon blasts out of her hand so she can handle the three-point line. Groot at forward. Why?
I like it.
What does everybody need? They need someone rangy and wiry who can reach out and defend on the perimeter. Groot is your guy. Scarlet Witch, for all the reasons that you just said, she is also on my team. Professor Hulk, the man in the middle, that combination of brains and bronze is what we need in today's NBA at center. Coach, Doctor Strange, not only for the time looping quality, but this man can see 14 million versions of the future, so he knows the opponent's strategy before it even happens. And then, Jason, I thought you'd appreciate this. Lead referee, Heimdall, because the man can see everything, maybe, or sometimes maybe not.
I mean, he missed a few things in the course of his Marvel career.
Saying.
Several invasions of Asgard, but that's okay. I still think a strong pick.
I'm just saying it might be appropriate for how some people see referees. So, Perk, can you judge at all? I know you might not be quite on the nerd level of me and Jason here, but who do you think has the better starting five?
Well, you know what? Look, I'm going to tell you what. It's close, Rachel and Jason. I'm telling you, it's close. But what got me is the center position.
Mm.
And, Rachel, I gave you the nod because of Professor Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
wow.
You broke it down. You need a bruiser-type guy in the middle. And as a former bruiser myself, I got to give it to Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Jason, you can redeem yourselves. Okay, go ahead.
Are we concerned that Professor Hulk, his arm hasn't healed from the end of Endgame? Is he still on the IR? I'm unclear about that.
I am not. I have faith in Banner. I don't know about you, but I do. I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself, though, Jason. One of the things we all love about Marvel is the multiverse, alternate timelines where characters deal with different realities, events, other than our main current timeline. So we thought, what if we made our own NBA multiverse? Is there one moment in NBA history that if things happened differently, the timeline would branch off, our current world would look so different? So, Perk, what is your pick for most intriguing NBA multiverse?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go in 2018, Chris Paul with the Rockets. If he doesn't pull his hamstring, I think they beat the Golden State Warriors, and I think they go on to defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Chris Paul and James Harden win their first NBA championship.
Wow, it's a great one. I think Chris's ability to elevate a team is unparalleled, and we've certainly seen what he's been able to do as a member of the Suns. I think it's a good pick. It's a great one.
Well, look, if Chris goes and James go on and win that title, I don't think the Chris for Russell Westbrook trade happens, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, I don't think maybe the Russell Westbrook to DC trade happens, or John Wall, his life is different. And I don't think James Harden ends up in Brooklyn. So it would change our current NBA season as well. Perk, I love that pick. Jason, what is your most intriguing NBA multiverse scenario?
Wow. I'm going to go back to 2005. The Phoenix Suns, the 7 seconds or less Suns, had been just rolling over the league. They get into the playoffs. They dispatch with the Grizzlies. And then against the Mavs, Joe Johnson breaks his orbital bone, misses a significant amount of that series, which they then progress to the Spurs, and misses a significant amount of the Spurs series, and the Suns fall to the Spurs. Joe has always said he thinks they get a championship if he's healthy for that. I agree. Peak Amari, Nash on the way to the MVP, Sean Marion, that rangy 6'10 guy that could do everything. I think that changes a lot of things. I think Joe doesn't go to Atlanta. Atlanta then doesn't have that period with Joe Johnson. Mm-hmm. I think the Suns then match the Spurs, who were always their bete noir, the villain that was turning them away time and time again. That's the one that I am fascinated by.
I strongly agree with that, Jason, and I love that pick. The Suns dominated the NBA throughout the course of that season, and Joe Buckets, that's what I call him, ISO Joe, he was a huge part of that success, and the great Tim Duncan always said that in order to win a championship, you need 20% luck, and luck and health runs in the same category. So I love that pick.
I love that one, too. My multiverse pick is, what if Klay Thompson didn't save the Warriors in Game 6 of the 2016 Western Conference Finals? Remember, the Thunder were leading going into the fourth quarter. They were up in the series. Yeah. If they had won the game, they would have won the series. Klay goes off nuclear, 19 points in the fourth. What if he only scores 11 points, which would have been still a crazy quarter? And yet, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook would have gone on to the finals. Kevin Durant does not go join the Warriors. We do not have the five-year dynasty of dominance in Golden State, although, of course, don't ever count Steph Curry and Klay Thompson out. But, boy, things would have been different. Jason, what do you think?
I think that's a fascinating one. Kevin Durant joining a 73-win team was a shocking moment. What happens after that? Does he end up in Brooklyn where he is now? That's a really, really great one.
Rachel, I think that's the best one yet because guess what? Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant would have won more titles. They both would have never left OKC and retired as Thunders. That was an excellent pick.
Well, look, the fact that Klay scored 19 in the fourth quarter, it's possible that we are in the alternate timeline because that happening is so crazy and unusual. This may be the branch timeline, while meanwhile there's another Jason and Perk off in the other timeline where Kevin Durant is still in Oklahoma City. Jason, thank you so much for stopping by. This is just
this
conflation of Marvel and the NBA is one of my most proud days here at ESPN. Everyone check out TakeLine and All Caps. We'll be right back after this break. And now we welcome in 13-year NBA vet Jeff Green to the jump. First, I got to compliment the Nationals hat. Jeff and I are both from the D.C. area, part of Maryland. Now, I'm an O's fan, but that is a very sad story for another day, so I like your hat. I can also say Jeff has great taste in condiments. We have bonded over the use of Old Bay on French fries. Everyone needs to do that. And your choice of sweatshirt, Jeff, the Mambacita hoodie you're wearing, proceeds benefiting the foundation honoring Kobe and Gigi Bryant. So thank you for so many reasons for being here today.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And we wanted you on today of all days because we know you're a Marvel fan. You missed the 2012 season when you had heart surgery. It's been more than 10 years since then, or almost 10 years, but how did you draw inspiration from, of all people, Iron Man?
Well, I saw, you know, the comparison of heart surgery, how he came back stronger. You know, the brilliance of, you know, Tony Stark. Just something that, you know, resonated with me, and the heart surgery allowed me, you know, to watch movies to draw a comparison on how I can come back to the game and, you know, become stronger in a sense in the basketball world.
Look, Jeff, Brooklyn right now, half game out of first place in the East. The only thing consistent about the Nets lineup this season, I think, has been you, right? You and Joe Harris. How do you develop on-court chemistry with so many different lineups going right now?
You know, it's just the confidence that we have in each other. You know, being out there on the floor, you know, with the injuries, the safety protocols, everything we've been through, we've had confidence in each other to go out there and just play together and play hard for each other. And that's what we've been doing. And it allows us to, you know, at this point in the season, to be right there in the thick of things, fighting for first place. and to keep this, you know, ship going straight, you know, with the injuries that we had. So, we just been there for each other and just waiting for, you know, our guys to come back stronger.
Hey, JG, look, you and KD was together in Oklahoma City as young Bucks, and now y'all old heads in the game. I want to know what the difference of now, what you see out of KD as far as his leadership skills, since now he's a vet and you're a vet and y'all hadn't played together in over a decade.
Just the maturity, you know, of that leadership. You know, when we came in together, we were young, you know, and, you know, being in the NBA, it takes years to develop that kind of thing. And, you know, we haven't played together in, you know, 10 years. And, you know, being a teammate then and now, you know, he's developed that maturity of, you know, how to, you know, get everybody on the same page with his voice and his actions. He always led by actions, you know, the way he works out. Yep. As you know, he goes into the gym and he's, you know, working out like, you know, it's the first day of, you know, someone trying to get back right. So, you know, he always worked hard, but his voice is something that's sticking out nowadays to me.
Well, I love seeing you and KD together, Jeff. I love seeing you and Perk together, especially since you guys were traded for each other at the 2011 deadline. Jeff, what do you remember from that?
It was tough, man. You know, going to Boston, you know, as a young guy, you know, knowing now how the city loved Perk, you know, in Boston. I know it was tough. It was tough for him. It was tough for me. You know, I was in OKC. We had a young team up and coming. And, you know, for me to go there with, you know, KG and Paul and Rondo, you know, and everybody thought, you know, I can, you know, I was trying to take the, you know, the likes of Big Perk, and it wasn't like that, man. I know the love that they have for him there, and, you know, it was tough to, you know, make that adjustment, but, you know, it is the business.
I was just going to ask you, Perk, what you thought of that swap from your side and knowing Jeff the way you do.
You know what? When I got to Oklahoma City, they kept telling me, hey, Perk, look, you got some big shoes to fill. Jeff was really loved around here in Oklahoma. Sam Presti had a one-on-one meeting and said it was one of the hardest things he had to do in his life. But, Rach, I want to ask Jeff something because he's a cheat code. I know he's sniping and shooting the ball lately, but how do you still have bunnies? Like, how are you still dunking on people? Is something going on there, Rachel?
Look, after the
years. We only got like 6 seconds. You can't ask me a question in 6 seconds. We'll do that off air. The jump is back in three tomorrow.